there. So I started it.
Okay, I think so.
No, it's not that bad.
It was just close. The mirror. Yeah.
The mirror got hit. Mm. Alright, just
just tell me if it's fine. Let me just walk.
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay. Is it in the right position? Or you want me to
adjust it for you? I think it's fine. Oh yeah, it would be good if you could move it out that way a little. How much? Four.
Yeah. Oh, further?
Can you get further? Okay.
Sorry.
Alright, where are we going?
No, we're going to what? Back to the tar roads.
Yeah, the way tar roads.
No,
right. Right. I'm on the right side, aren't I?
I know you're used to, right? Yeah, I know it's not easy, you know. Like if you're used to something,
yeah,
it's not easy to move to another one because you need time to adjust.
Yeah.
The driving in Joburg, yo, it's a mess. It's not easy that side.
Traffic can be driving
congestion.
Are we going to be on straight for a while?
Yeah, should be straight until we reach Bukit Sik. That's where we can turn.
Reach
now we still have to reach like the T-junction. Okay. Then from the T-junction then we can turn to the right and then from Bukit Sik to the left again. Then straight. Yeah. How much of that? So, what was your impression so far?
Well, I'm glad I went. It was interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. What is my impression? it didn't... I should
no, consider your objectives versus, like, the responses that we get.
Yeah. Well, I didn't have... You know, I was just trying to get a sense of
yeah.
who these people are, what they do, how they use the loans.
Yeah.
You know, how... What exactly it means... that they're poor, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's
because I've read about different kinds of poverty. So, for example, these people, it's a little hard to tell what their health situation is.
Yeah.
I asked a couple questions about that, but it was too hard to get answers for that.
Yeah.
You know, they definitely... And I didn't get to see if the children were underweight or whatever. You know, they have TVs, they have access to roads, they have some stuff. They have, like, cement houses. Which
yeah.
Not everyone has. Clearly, they don't have a lot of space, and they don't seem to have much variety in their diets.
Yeah.
So that was one thing I picked up, and then just thinking about the economic situation, it seems like they, you know, it kind of seems like the way they're using SEF is that they're able to run businesses with SEF that they couldn't run without SEF. But those businesses are limited as far as how big they can really get.
It's yeah.
like these people, they don't hire employees, they don't expand, you know, they're just like, well, you know, if I had some capital, I could sell sort of beer or
yeah.
you know, whatever. So what does that all translate to? I mean, SEF is probably making their lives a little more comfortable, I guess.
What's the number of cases we have, like clients that has employees,
yeah.
but normally it's roughly like 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, plus or minus, let me say plus or minus 10.
8 plus or minus 10, what
yeah.
are those numbers?
Correct? what, like, because there is this branch, culture branch, is in Central.
Uh-huh.
There was this competition. We went to interview players to get a sense of how they moved out of the poverty before joining SEF and after joining SEF.
Yeah.
So that's why, like I told you about the tenders, the catering, sometimes they have to provide catering in the government departments. So, which means they need assistance. Yeah, so these are
the straight.
Yeah, still straight.
So what are the numbers, 8 and 10, they were saying? 8 plus or minus 10?
No, because like I was just saying, like, let me say plus or minus 8, they hired, like, if maybe someone is having a catering business.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, they need to have like assistant, maybe 7 or 8 employees.
Right.
Yeah.
But we didn't talk
some
to
some on part-time basis. No, we didn't find them too.
Yeah, we just talked to the people we talked to. We had like
The people that we talked to never had like big businesses. Just
they had these distribution businesses.
Yeah.
They pick stuff up in some central place. They sell it to people in the community.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. Let's see. It was interesting to see that money lender. I didn't know what to think of him. And then I wonder, let's see. I don't know. I do kind of wonder who's doing the, the kind of staple services in the community, because these people seem to be, I don't know, selling beer or refreshments or candy. You know, I wonder who kind of builds the houses and how they get their capital, and who's kind of, I guess they get most of their food from that store, huh?
Yeah, that's where they get food. They don't mind going to. They don't just go to the traveling coast and stuff.
Right. But they're also not, it doesn't seem like they're really doing much, they're not farming, they're not buying, they might be farming, but they're not getting their food from the farms, they're getting it from the store.
Yeah, they're getting it from the store. Because in North Zone, we have like a number of people that have farms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because last time we're doing like a dropout survey, the whole department wanted to find out like the reason why people drop out. Like, I mean, one of the major reasons was business failure.
Right.
That was the major reason why people drop out. It's like, because if the business fails, the person struggles to pay the loan and you become a burden to other group members. Therefore, you drop.
Right.
Yeah. Because we have like a group solidarity. Some struggle to pay for this member if something happens.
Right.
They can pay for a certain period, but then maybe 2 or 3 installments. Because according to policy, we have a policy in mind that this group can only pay for this much, this number of installments. And then if the client doesn't pay, and then we write it off. The reason why that credit provider, the one that we interviewed, the reason why he was like revealing more on the struggling side was because you said you are funding NGOs and stuff. Maybe he was interested to know what you're going to say.
Oh, you wanted money from us?
I mean, that was my impression. The reason why, because like he felt more comfortable in talking about his problems than his successes.
Yeah.
So.
Well, maybe he's just not doing well. Who knows?
But I can see in his eyes that he's struggling. The business man is struggling.
Really? I couldn't see his eyes.
Yeah.
He had those shades on.
Was he crying or what? Like, you understand in his eyes, like his facial expression.
Yeah. You did a lot of talking. To me, it was, I guess you had to explain to them a lot what I was trying to say.
Yeah, no, I think in my case I'm used to, like, choking and stuff.
Yeah.
Even though, like, because normally it's not a direct translation. You have to put it nicely because you have to be, like, in a client's level.
Yeah.
The client's level of understanding. That's where you get a sense of, okay, if the question is like this, then the client will be able to answer and stuff. So
can you give me some examples of that? Like how you translated what I said to make it easier for them to understand?
Okay, maybe when you say like, how was the situation before and how was the situation after?
Yeah.
That's where you give like an example. You say that like, Mama, you heard about SAFE. Okay, maybe before you joined, you had this kind of business, and then in your case you observed and see. What was the reason? Why did you decide to join SAFE? Was it because there was problem with the business, or was it because of something that we don't know that you want to tell us? That's what the clients like. The clients want, I mean, whenever you interview a client, make a friend feel like you are in his or her shoes.
Right.
Yeah, that's where you get like more information. Because if it's direct translation, just straight, you are not going to get like honest answers. Because the only question that you ask, like I felt that you didn't get like honest information, they were like, have you ever struggled to pay for, have you ever missed the installment?
You don't think they were honest on that?
They were not honest, even though I tried like to,
right.
You know.
What did you
like,
say?
I said like, sometimes when you're in business, you sometimes struggle, there are struggles in the business. Sometimes you try by all means to pick up your business, but then still you fail.
Right.
And because you have to pay for installment, it becomes a challenge. So I want to know from you if, in your situation, have you ever encountered a problem in your business that affected your repayments?
I see.
So that's how I put, like, you know.
Right, right.
It's much easier that way.
So when I asked them, you know, how often your children get sick, I think that one took you a while to
translate. Yeah, that one is simple, I think.
Okay, that one's
simple. To be honest, clients are more comfortable when you ask, like, about their struggles. That will tell you more information. Sometimes the clients can talk for 5 minutes if you're talking about the struggles, but their successes. Like for instance, in your case, if I was to ask you about your strength and your weaknesses,
yeah,
the weaknesses will outnumber the strength, because I mean.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
Maybe because people need help. They need assistance.
Right.
They need to progress.
Right.
So they feel like in a conversation, there's something that they're going to grab, one or two, or maybe you might come with sort of like assistance in helping their businesses. Because like I said, from the talk that we had, still I'm quite certain that if you provide like business skills, the clients will be able like to operate without SAFE.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, considering their business, like SAFE helped them before they start, but now they're like successful. Because if you see, like, you check them out with the business that they had before they joined SAFE, they only have like single businesses. They only relied on one business. But after they have joined the program, they started to diversify their business. Now they have like a number of businesses.
Yeah.
So it's easy to switch. If this business is not doing well, they can switch to the other business. Just like that.
So how did you translate the question about, why do some people not join SAFE?
Okay, I said that as a center, it's easy to observe the people that are struggling because we have this, in Sotho we call it Sikhlopasama Hont, group solidarity. So in a group, you know that you have to help each other, sort of your one big baby. So in case someone struggles to pay for installment, what are some of the challenges that you notice in your case? Because in a group solidarity, you talk to one another before you start paying, or maybe they have like recent meeting. So what are some of the challenges that you encounter like when you interview, I mean when you talk to your clients, what do they normally tell you when they struggle? So that's where you get like honest answers. Like that client, she said maybe a client, I mean one of our clients in our group had like a funeral in a family, so she struggled, so we had to pay for her, but then she paid us back. I mean, you get a lot of information, but if it's like direct, you might get like honest information, but then not as much. Yeah. That's why it's very important to give like introduction.
Yeah.
Because normally when you interview a client, the client will try to convince you to give another loan. They might think maybe you want to take the loan away from them.
Right.
So that's why I was like saying, whatever you say, it's not going to affect your loan.
Got it.
Yeah, so everything stays the same. It's just like a social or informal talk.
Right.
Yeah, so they feel comfortable saying, okay, I'm free to talk.
Got it.
Because if you don't give such introduction, they won't be honest talking about other members' failures.
Right.
They can only reveal, they might even be afraid to reveal their own failures. Or turn to the right. Is it the only organization you interviewed so far? Like, I want to know, like, your experience in other organizations. How were they, like, we had, like, similar mission and vision, or?
This is the first one I've done in outside of America.
Oh, yeah.
So I've done a couple in America that'd be totally different. They're very, very different.
Yeah, what kind of organizations are they? Are they, like, micro-learning, or?
Oh, no. I did one in America that was, job training, not business training, but job training,
because, okay.
You know, I think in America, usually people who are poor, they have, like, hourly wage or salary.
Oh, yeah.
They don't generally just pick up and start their own business like this. So, it was kind of like teaching people how to hold a job and how to apply for a job and all that. That was one of the ones that I visited.
What's the poverty like?
The U.S. poverty line?
Yeah.
I think for like a single person, it's like $10,000 a year.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's you get another like $3,000 a year for every person in your family.
Okay.
So it's, you know, the dollars to rand, that would be, $10,000 would be like 130,000 rand a year, which is like 10,000 rand a month.
Yeah.
So it's, I guess that would be, that would probably be pretty good here.
Because here, I think now it's completely different. Here, when we talk about 4 months,
yeah.
I mean, I don't have to explain myself. You've seen so much about, like, you know, how life struggles and through observation and stuff. But then, which means someone who's better off here is completely quite dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little hard. Those numbers can be a little misleading because things cost more in the U.S. too.
Yeah. Getting the salaries high, I guess.
Yeah. The salaries are high, the prices are high, the rents are very high in New York, so you could make $10,000 a year and still have, you know, less space to live in than these people have, or about the same. You know, I would say that in the U.S., I don't know that much, but I think that very poor people in the U.S., you know, if they're in an urban area, if they're in a city, they have very little space. They probably have more than these people, but not a lot more. I think that they eat well because there's food banks. And, you know, they don't always eat well, but it's they're not eating like top and amazing.
What is the food? Staple food? Is it like rice?
I mean, they eat a lot of food. I know that food banks give out like fruits and vegetables a lot.
Yeah.
I think pasta. I mean, everyone has electricity, flush toilets, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And everyone can get, like, go to a library and get on the internet. You know, almost everyone has a TV. You know, most of these people have televisions.
I'm quite impressed with the South African government. I think now they're doing a lot. Yeah. A lot of libraries, even in that village, there's a library.
Yeah, everyone's.
Because last time I asked those guys, is there a library around? And then I even went to the library. It was great.
Great?
Yeah, it was great. I was like, in a remote area, it's hard to get a library. So, do you think you will be in a rush once we arrive in the office? I was wondering if you can give, like, Cody just 5 minutes of your time to explain about the business strength I was talking about. Like, I think she'll be interested, like, you know.
Do you want me to
in our department.
Okay.
I think she'll be interested to know, like, you know. I don't think you'll take it. 5 minutes will be done, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, no, I can do it. I mean, what do you want me to talk about with that?
Like the business training that I was explaining about. Because in my case, I can only brief you. But in your case, he knows, like, a broader understanding because he's the one who came up with the proposal.
I see.
He'll tell you also the progress in terms of funding and stuff.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can try that. So what are your main pilots for the money box program,
For now, this is a simple project. The big project we have, like, let me, in our department, we have one branch, which is Tiger's Fort. That branch, whenever you want to pilot something, we first pilot in that branch. I
we started that branch last year. So whenever we want to pilot something, we pilot in that branch before we implement it to other branches. If the pilot is a success in that branch, then that we can, you know, recommend to other branches. So far, we have like a number of projects in the pipeline that we want to test out. So we have like VCV. Oh, sorry. I almost forgot that you are vulnerable client business. A DF or development facilitator should be able to talk, to have like a chat with the clients, but not just any clients in the center, but those that are vulnerable, to see or to understand their way of doing things or where can they help. So that project, I think, will help our clients, like, to intervene so that we can detect a client, because we also created even like a sheet, like sort of a database, wherein we can tell if client is vulnerable, considering the business value through business evaluation, considering the client savings, and the other thing, yeah, maybe let me say business value versus savings. We can tell if client is vulnerable or not vulnerable. If the tool detects vulnerable clients, a DF will be able to have like a list. These are the list of clients that you need to, vulnerable clients that you need to interview, and to see if they are struggling, so that we shouldn't detect the problem after maybe 2 years. If the client is struggling, maybe that client before, she regularly saved, but then now you see a drop, that the DF should intervene immediately to have like a chart where we can help the client. That's one of the pilot. That makes it so related.
Yeah. Well, she knows also that.
You turn left from the T-junction.
If you need to get fruits, that's the place.
Okay.
We have avocados, mangoes, bananas. What are the most common fruits in the U.S.?
Apples, is it bananas, bananas, and oranges. Apples, bananas, oranges, grapes. Peaches.
Because in the Popo we eat a lot of fruits.
Okay, so now we're going, is it straight to Zanita?
Yeah, now it's straight. The only place that we'll turn is after Tears North, then we'll turn to the left. That's the only turn, but then after we drove like, let me say, my destination, I want to show you this. 30 kilos. We give it 30.
30?
Yeah. Maybe approximately 50 kilos. That's why it's always good if you don't give like the exact number.
Yeah.
So that we can hide behind. So no, I didn't say.
It's about 30. 30. Yeah.
I lost my drink. I almost forgot I had a drink.
So tell me again how long you've been with Seth.
I started with Seth like, maybe let me say I've been an intern for 6 months, from July 2008 up until December. January last year they gave me like a 1 year contract, so this year they gave me another year, but not necessarily another year, but a permanent contract.
You came there right out of school?
Yeah, fresh from university. Because to me it was like, it was interesting to see how different, I mean, academic self and geek self, like, you know, because in research, I mean, it's all about proposals and go out in the field, or, you know. But now it's more like practical.
Yeah.
Practical, you have to design the project from scratch, you know, indicate it in every step. So I think it's quite interesting. Even the data analysis. I mean, like, sort of a compressive data analysis, team building. quite a number of clients, so I've also improved like my quantitative skills.
What kind of analysis do you do?
It's sort of to check, like you said, dropout in a department. Like we also were so concerned with the dropout. So if like in the main MIS, Management Information System, because we have like a tool in place, we call it T-Stats. So the T-Stats have like information about clients. We have like loan cycle, loan amount, savings, business evaluation through, I mean business value through business evaluation. We have like where clients apply, so we can check like maybe, for an example, if maybe want to incentivize clients, we can set a criteria to say, client, we have so much on savings, considering this amount of business value, should actually qualify for the incentives. So we use formulas like to analyze data. If we are considering all clients that are at fourth loan cycle, and then we can tell using like different formulas, you know, just to analyze the data. Sort of, there are quite a number of things that we can do with Excel, considering the needs in our department. We can able to tell who's a successful client. I mean, we can tell from the distance that if you have this business value in this loan cycle, with having this amount of savings, I mean, you can tell. Because in a case, once you have like 10% of the savings, I mean, this is the minimum standard. And then if you have like, because we can see, considering if maybe all clients the fourth loan cycle, the business value maybe is more than, let me say, 2,000, and then the client has like 10% of the savings, then you can tell if the client is successful or not, considering the loan cycle. If a client has been with that for 7 years, I mean, if you check the business value on the finance in less than 1,000, obviously the client is vulnerable.
Right. Yeah.
Because you expect someone who has been with a program for so long, being successful, being a pillar in the center. Like if somebody's in the 12th or 20th loan cycle, I mean, you expect that client to have grown in the business and in the household as well. But quite a number of them, in fact, whenever you like detect clients using the tool, whenever you go out and interview the clients, you find that really the tool is telling the truth. The client is successful. If you check like the business, I mean, she also have like maybe few people who are assisting. Because in a case, like, you know, she's giving them skills, empowering them. You know, in the case, you just sit back and relax. Not necessarily relax, but then to some final touch-ups or just evaluate. Have you ever heard of the PWR for what wealth ranking?
Yeah, I think we checked out.
These are some of the tools that we use.
Yeah, I think we saw one of the set PWRs. Yeah.
Because we want to make sure that we target the right people.
Right.
Yeah. Because like if maybe we're to do an impact, it's something that needs to be taken into consideration. Before you join this staff, you had this score. If they were to rate again,
right,
you can see that there's a shift. Because one of the key priorities this financial year was to make sure that, I mean, all the key operational areas want to make sure that we emphasize more on quality, not quantity. If you do PWR, make sure the people who are doing PWR are certified. They are qualified. I mean, they've been trained. So that at the end, we end up getting the right people. Because if we let everyone come in the program and then we end up not targeting the right people. But if the tool is conducted well, it's much better.
considering the vision and mission of our organization.
How do you, once you decide who you can target, how do you target them?
Okay, in the PWR,
yeah.
In a case, I don't rate, but the community, the members themselves rate each other.
Right.
Like the question that you asked, the kind of food they eat,
yeah.
The housing structure, whether there are people who are employed to the family, are they being assisted by the family members? These are some of the questions that, like, you let the community decide.
Right.
Yeah, and then they do some ratings. Because it's sort of a big step forward to take you through the process.
But then how does Seth make sure, you know, once you've identified the people that you want to target, how does Seth target them?
Okay, you go to the community. Let me share the first introduction.
Okay.
You go to the community.
Yeah.
You make appointment with the Induna or the caretaker of that village.
Yeah.
Maybe the chief of that village. You make an appointment with the chief to say, I'm from SEF, these are our objectives. So we are intending to come up with a program that will help to assist clients move out of poverty. So like me, the mission or the objectives or values and, you know, so that they understand what is SEF in general. So then you ask the Induna if he can talk together with you with the community members. So that's where you address to the community, you give you a chance, like you say, okay, I approve.
Right.
You can talk to the community members. Then you have a meeting, or you can, if not meeting in the community, then you can go to different organizations like the churches, the societies, because community members usually meet like societies, Burial societies,
right.
Churches, like you can make introduction. And if people are interested, it's then that you set an appointment with those people to say, on this date, will between the PWR, and you'll explain what PWR and stuff. So you'll have like different piles to say this pile and this pile, you have to rate. Maybe you have like three piles. Maybe this one are the better off, this one sort of average, this one for the poorest. The communities that they can rate, like using different piles, and then you draw a map of the village. This is the structure of the village. Maybe Caswell stays in this house. You can also identify the client houses. So at the end, if the communities have like rated each other, because we have like sort of, we call them reference groups. Yeah, so reference groups. If you move from this group and then you also check with the other group if they are saying the same thing. So at the end, you have like the actual number of people that are actually poor. That actually qualifies, because that's sort of like calculations and,
And then what?
At the end, the community will decide that these are the people that, the community won't just see how you know, they will see each and every step, and then they will be more convinced to say, this is the number of people that need to be on the program. So those that didn't qualify, they can only be on the program if those people who qualified been in that center for 2 years,
uh-huh.
And within the period of 2 years, one client, or at least there should be clients that had fourth loan cycle. So if you check in a year, because like in a case, we have like fortnight, 12 fortnight, and then we have like 6 months, we had also like 10 months. So I mean, in a year, if a client took loan for 6 months, because they normally consider 6 months term, in a year we can have like second load cycles, clients that are in second load cycles, because they can take from January to June, from June to December, and then in 2 years time we can have a client at fourth load cycle, because for each year you can have like first and second load cycle, the second year you can have third and fourth. So if the area has been open for 2 years and you only have like maybe one client that has fourth load cycle, those clients that didn't qualify can get in the program. That's where you don't consider like the PWR scores.
So how do you even, do you take down the names of the people who qualified and then,
Yeah, because it's more practical. Like you put down all the people, all the members in the community.
Yeah.
Like you can rate each and every household.
Yeah.
To say, household number one is poor. because in the paper, like in the, we have like papers where you note down the number of people and the names that they are familiar, that the community is familiar with, so that when you come back to the center, maybe someone from the same village wants to join the program, you check their PWR score if the client qualifies. You have the map of the village. You rate every member of the household.
So someone,
the village.
If someone comes up to you and says, I want to join the program, you look on your map.
Yeah, you look
you
on
see
the,
who they
the,
are,
see.
And then you see if check they, what the PWR are and see if they pop up. So really, so you do everyone in the village? How many people?
Yeah, the map.
Yeah.
The map. If the village is too big, you separate. Because then, normally the village has like sections.
And then so few people end up joining though. I mean, there must be, I don't know, how many people are there in that village? Thousands, right?
Yeah, thousands.
So you go to 1,000 houses, you mark each one with a poverty score.
Together, no, you, not necessarily you go to each and every household.
Uh-huh.
You have like a meeting
areas
with the community members.
Okay.
And then you set like reference groups. So the members that are in that meeting can rate.
They put in a map
because they know each other. In rural areas, like we know each other, it's not like in the suburb,
right,
where you don't know your neighbor and stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Where are we?
So we know. Now this is David Truth.
So, who's I supposed to go left? Or,
no, we go straight. We have to pass this one first.
Okay.
Yeah. We stay straight. They know one another. They can raid, like, the poverty, they can tell if this client is vulnerable or not, considering their indicators. Because when you're identifying, like, they're just saying this one is poor, you ask the question why. They will tell you, oh, this one is poor because her husband is not working, or the husband is retrenched. This one is poor because, I mean, this client has a farm, she only relies on the farm, she doesn't get to eat meat. They will tell you about the number of indicators. So for each and every pile, pile number one, you'll have the indicator, like, if someone is considered poor, these are the indicators. If someone is considered better off, these are the indicators. So you can tell. And clients can see themselves that these people really qualify, this one don't qualify. Because they're different scores, the sort of scorings. Have you ever heard of Grameen Bank?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the tools. Even though it might be difficult to operate in the suburb, because people there, they don't know each other. So the PWR will only do it on the TCP, the poor of the poorest, but in MCP we don't do PWR.
MCP anyone can join?
Yeah, because in TCP, people who normally join are the better off.
I see.
Some do have existing business before they join the program, so they just join the program just to diversify their business. So, I mean, in most cases, in MCPs you get clients with successful business. So normally we don't do PWR, we only do PWR in the GCP area. But even though during the group training, there are some of the things that we consider. The familiarity of members, they should know each other so that they shouldn't be a runaway, they should be able to assist each other. Because it's sort of a collateral arena case. Because you can't just take a client to court and stuff, but then that's how, like,
right,
emphasize on group solidarity.
Right.
Yeah. If clients are staying in one village, close to each other, they know each other, they can able to tell if client is having debt somewhere. Or maybe this client is bad with paying, is bad with paying debts and stuff. They can tell. These are some of the key operational areas. I mean, these are some of the key priorities for this financial year. We want to make sure that the group training, I mean the group formation and group training is strong. Because while the group training, I mean while the group formation is weak, you might end up having like dropouts, because people just want to take money and leave the program.
Right.
It's hard to follow up. Even when you're making follow up, it's like, you find like they're not staying close to each other. But during group formation, if you emphasize on issues, like you tend to identify issues that might affect the group, it's then that you retrain the group until you are sure of your quality. In case, how often do you go to the field?
I mean, we don't really...
Not necessarily the field per se, but then just like going out, interviewing. Doesn't matter whether it's in America or in Africa.
I mean, we do a lot of interviewing series, you know. We'll call up an organization, we'll speak to someone like John, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll ask them questions, or we'll look at the charity, the organization website, and see what's on there.
Yeah.
So we spend a lot of time doing that. We don't, you know, what we're kind of about is taking large number of charities and getting it down to a few really outstanding ones.
Yeah.
So we don't do a lot of, like, you know, this is some of the first really going to one organization and
yeah.
see what it looks like and all that.
Okay. So
we're not in direct services, we're a funder, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
We're not out there, we don't have clients. We just try to figure out which organizations are doing the best work.
So in a case, you could, like you said, you consider retention, you consider like, I mean, dropout retention and stuff.
Yeah.
So for other organizations, what are the criteria?
Well, other microfinance organizations usually are looking at portfolio of risk and growth in number of clients. Yeah, sustainability sort of. I mean, they pretty much just portfolio risk.
Yeah.
They look at portfolio risk. They look at growth in the number of clients. They look at some other stuff that I think is really questionable. Where they look at like what is it, loan size as a percentage of GDP per capita.
So they
look at like average loan size.
And that's
their way of seeing if they're reaching poor people. Basically, if the loans are small, they say they're reaching poor people.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's just less, in my opinion, it's a little bit, they've got more emphasis on reaching as many people as possible, making as many loans as possible, and less emphasis on being really careful that, you know, the people who are borrowing can really pay back and can really handle it and know what they're getting into and have it, they trust. It seems like SEP is very, you know, we don't want to just make loans, we want to make sure that these loans are helpful and our instinct is the same way. There's other organizations that are just, you know, let's make loans and loans, and let's not check as hard as they're going.
Yeah. Sorry, like you have a lot of patience, but...
Oh, all right, Doug.
I've
been talking, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just curious to know, like, you know, if what kind of challenges they encounter, like, in general, in case you do, like, maybe interviews with the FD, managing directors?
Yeah.
Like, just to get a sense of how the organization is going. What are some of the challenges that they encounter?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard for us to get information out of them a lot of the time. Like, you know, you told me that a lot of these people, it's like, you talk to them, they're afraid you're going to take away their loan.
Unless you give introduction, like, to explain.
Yeah. Right, so we call up a charity and we say, we're trying to figure out whether to recommend you. Here are some questions. You know, it's hard to get honest answers, and it's hard to get much information at all. A lot of the time, they don't want to share a lot of info. So, you know, the basic impression I get is that they are more about those basic numbers. They're more about, let's make lots of loans. Let's make sure that the portfolio risk is not too high. And I think their challenges would be when their portfolio risk goes up, when they're not making enough loans. But I think it's a little bit of a simpler picture.
Yeah.
there's someone coming. But we are turning soon.
What?
We are turning to left soon.
Okay.
But this is one way then.
Is this for turning?
Yeah, we'll be turning somewhere. I think it's after... But for now you can still drive through.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
No problem.
This whole road is this way, right?
Yeah, it's one way.
Okay.
Yeah. Did they charge per day?
Something like $60. So like $700 or something.
So how long have you been waiting for that organization?
2.5 years.
Wow. Permanent or just
permanent? So the organization is just it's just me and two other people.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. Oops. What?
Yeah.
That's
a startup.
Oh, yeah.
We started it, you know, 2 or 3 years ago.
So, in your case, where do you get funding? Like, create a website, people get interested, they donate?
Yeah, that's pretty much. Well, most of our funding comes from people who we used to work with when we worked in... I used to work in... Do you know what a hedge fund is?
Never heard of that.
You know, like finance?
Oh, yeah. I thought maybe you have like number of departments in that organization, like maybe you have like financial department.
Nope, I'm the financial department.
Yes, sir.
I'm several departments.
Yeah. In my case, I'm more on the social side.
Yeah.
In my case, more on the financial transactions. Even though I have the knowledge of both, at least my equation is balanced. There's a road construction.
So you think you're gonna do something else after a while?
And after what?
No, I mean, you know, do you think you're gonna leave Seth and work somewhere else?
Let me be honest with you.
Okay.
The reason for me for leaving Seth,
uh-huh,
it's all about growth. I think I'm satisfied with what I get, the organization. The experience, I mean, is up to par. I mean, you know, because I learn new skills every day, get to know people, client service, you know. Yeah, we'll tend to left for me.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think it's quite interesting. I mean, the things that I've learned so far, I feel like, you know, I can even have my own company because you know what are things to consider,
right?
Failures and successes and stuff. I think it's quite interesting. So when I leave the organization, not now, I think I'm still young in the organization and I still want to learn more, you know?
Yeah.
I'm still curious to know like why, what and stuff. So, and by the time I leave, it will be because I want to see the outside world. Like I want to see, like to learn something different. Maybe from other organizations, not in Limpopo, but then maybe move to Gauteng. From Gauteng, I can go to Cape Town, you know.
Yeah.
And I want to do that before maybe I reach 30. After 30 years,
uh-huh,
I want to settle down.
Oh.
Before I get married, I mean, I have to like, you know, see the world.
Right.
Travel. It's good to have like more experience.
Yeah.
even though at some point I'll consider going outside just for at least 2 months or a month.
Outside.
I think I'm sick and tired of reading books and stuff. I mean,
right.
You are, like when you read books about South Africa, they told you about the apartheid era, high crime rate, but once you are here, you see a different picture. I know there's high crime rate and stuff, and then it's not something that you can notice. You can't, like, you know, even through observation, you can't tell unless it happens to you. Of which I'm quite sure that it, you know, it won't happen. So I want to see when they talk about poverty, like you explained.
Yeah.
What is it that they consider?
Ooh.
I mean, like, in my case, I want to see, like...
I see.
You know. To the naked eye, I want to see, like, you know, get to know, get to talk to people, like, you know, get a sense of how they live. Living standards. It was the same. If employment rate, unemployment rate is, I mean, 10, it's high. Right?
Yeah.
I want to see, like, you know, but do you have, like, is it informal employment counted in the employment rate?
That I'm not sure.
Because in my case, I think I'm quite interested to see if we...
I think it is. Like, self-employment, I think it is counted as employment.
No, but I think it's because it's a registered...
Right.
It's a registered...
Wait,
oh, crap. Oh, first, four-way stop.
Okay.
Whoever stops first, pass.
Yeah, no, I was about to turn in there.
Well, I thought maybe you're looking but for the road, I mean, yeah, for the traffic lights, it's like, it's bad.
Alright, where are we going?
Straight?
Okay.
Yeah, let's just go straight, okay, we can change from the other side.
Whew. Make good time.
It's tiring, man.
Yeah.
At least the money is after lunch.
Hmm?
I mean, it's 2 o'clock. Normally we have lunch at 1 o'clock. It's 1 hour lunch, between 1 and 2.
Oh.
So now it's after lunch.
Okay, so
7 minutes time after lunch. Okay. Yeah, so this month, my budget is tight. I'm not spending this month for during lunchtime.
Why not?
I have to eat in my room. That's the plan.
Really?
I'm trying to discipline myself. You know, when you first get employed, like that excitement, you want to explore, you don't forget about budget and stuff.
Right.
So I think now it's time to make a change in my family as well. Before I leave, because I think in a couple of years I might leave and have my own life. Because in that case, whenever you leave your parents' house, make sure that at least, like, you say thank you to your mom, if you build them a house or you buy furniture.
Mm.
Maybe you can have more. Sorry, because we are turning to the right.
Oh, I am.
But maybe we can change the dates.
Wait, but I can't turn.
You have
right
to stop.
Okay.
Yeah. No, there's a turn. So it's too way to...
Oh.
Still trying to figure out who stopped first.